Chapter 1. The big man at the end of the bar is sweating. He holds his head low over his double scotch, but every few minutes he glances up and out, behind him, towards the door. A fine sheen of perspiration glistens under the strip lights. He lets out a long, shaky breath disguised as a sigh and turns back to his drink.
Hey, excuse me.
I look up from polishing glasses.
Can I get another one here?
I want to tell him it's really not a good idea. It won't help. It might even put him over the limit. But he's a big guy, and it's 15 minutes till closing time, and according to company guidelines, I have no reason to tell him no. So I walk over, take his glass and hold it up to the optic. He nods at the bottle.
Double,
he says, and slides a fat hand down his damp face. That'll be £7.20, please. It's a 11:15 on a Tuesday night, and the Shamrock and Clover, East City Airport's Irish-themed pub, which is as Irish as Mahatma Gandhi, is winding down for the night. The bar closes 10 minutes after the last plane takes off, and right now, it's just me, an intense young man with a laptop, the cackling women at table 2, and the man nursing a double Jameson's, waiting for either the SC-107 to Stockholm or the DB-224 to Munich, and the latter has been delayed for 40 minutes. I've been on since midday as Carly has a stomach ache and went home. I don't mind. I never mind staying late. Humming softly to Celtic Pipes of the Emerald Isle, Volume 3, I walk over and collect the glasses from the two women who are peering intently at some video footage on a phone. They laugh the easy laugh of the well-lubricated. My granddaughter, 5 days old, says the blonde woman, as I reach over the table for her glass. Lovely, I smile. All babies look like currant buns to me. She lives in Sweden. I've never been. But I have to go and see my first grandchild, don't I?
We're wetting the baby's head.
They burst out laughing again. Join us in a toast?
Go on, take the load off for 5 minutes. We'll never finish this bottle in time.
Oops, here we go. Come on, door. Alerted by a screen, they gather up their belongings. And perhaps it's only me who notices a slight stagger as they brace themselves for the walk towards security. I place their glasses on the bar and scan the room for anything else that needs washing.
You never tempted then.
The smaller woman has turned back for her scarf.
I'm sorry?
To just walk down there at the end of a shift. Hop on a plane.
I would, she laughs again. Every bloody day.
I smile, the kind of professional smile that might convey anything at all, and turn back towards the bar. Around me, the concession stores are closing up for the night, steel shutters clattering down over the overpriced handbags and emergency gift Toblerones. The lights flicker off at gates 3, 5, 11, the last of the day's travellers winking their way into the night sky. Violet, the Congolese cleaner, pushes her trolley towards me, her walk a slow sway, her rubber-soled shoes squeaking on the shiny marmoleum.
Evening, darling.
Evening, Violet.
Ah, you shouldn't be here this late, sweetheart. You should be home with your loved ones.
She says exactly the same thing to me every night. Not long now. I respond with these exact words every night. Satisfied, she nods and continues on her way. Intense young laptop man and sweaty scotch drinker have gone. I finish stacking the glasses and cash up, checking twice until the till roll matches what's in the drawer. I note everything in the ledger, check the pumps, jot down what we need to reorder. It is then that I notice the big man's coat is still over his bar stool. I walk over and glance up at the monitor. The flight to Munich would be just boarding. If I felt inclined to run his coat down to him, I look again, then walk slowly to the gents.
Hello? Is anyone in here?
The voice that emerges is strangled and bears a faint edge of hysteria. I push the door. The scotch drinker is bent low over the sink, splashing his face. His skin is chalk white.
Are they calling my flight?
It's only just gone up. You've probably got a few minutes. I make to leave, but something stops me. The man is staring at me, his eyes two tight little buttons of anxiety.
I can't do it.
He grabs a paper towel and pats at his face.
I can't get on the plane.
I wait.
I'm meant to be travelling over to meet my new boss, and I can't. I haven't had the guts to tell him I'm scared of flying.
He shakes his head.
Not scared. Terrified.